You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And today we are chatting with our sweet friend, Anna Lee Ashford.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Rush. And today we've got our sweet, hysterical, Tony Award-winning friend, Anna Lee Ashford, with us today. Good morning.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, we're so thrilled that you're here. Yes, it's so nice to see you. With such a little ray of sunshine.
Always. Oh, that's so sweet. I'm so happy.
You guys might know Anna Lee from numerous Broadway shows. You won your Tony for You Can't Take It With You, correct?
Yes, which is my favorite title, especially as a mother.
Yeah.
Just to remind you, money doesn't really matter.
Because there won't be any left.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people probably knew you first from the musical world, Legally Blonde and Kinky Boots and Sunday in the Park, Wicked. Oh my gosh.
Long ago.
Oh, please.
Long ago. I did Wicked long ago. Kara and I did Legally Blonde together,
me
too.
And we've known each other so long.
I know.
It feels like ages and ages and ages ago.
It does, and then it also feels like yesterday. I remember, like, before the show would open, before the show would start sitting behind, or maybe when did we sit? But I feel like we're always crouching down, hiding in that show.
Yes, when I was on a Serena, we'd be like the three of us would be crouching down together behind something in like a really small space.
Multiple times in
a
the
lot.
Show.
There's a lot of crouching.
Yes, because we'd like come out and be part of her imagination.
Right? That's right.
Yeah. Anyway,
it was so fun though.
Oh my god! But you also you've really made a transition to so much TV and film. I mean. Holla for that, because that's a hard thing to do, I feel like, right? Like, they get to know you in the musical theater world, and much less, like, first off, you did a play, which the fact that they were like,
you did another play after that, right?
Yeah, you did Sylvia, right? Yes. So it's like, not only do you musical theater, then they were like, well, she could be a real actress, because, you know, that's...
of course.
We're not. We're into musicals, but... and you did plays, and now you've even gone a step further, and you're on television... and doing all this awesome work.
I'm just so lucky. I have so much gratitude. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately. Mm-hmm. So I love a podcast, and also your podcast is so special and so important.
Thanks.
And shining a light on a world of working moms that's very specific and unique and very, very time consuming and emotionally consuming work, which is something that we don't always talk about. I just worked I'm going to be in The Good Fight this season. So I got to be around Christine Bransky and Audra McDonald yesterday for like a whole morning. Like, hello, it doesn't get more real than that. And they're both mothers, and hearing them talk about childcare, like, I just was totally eavesdropping in the makeup room, and it made my heart have such relief, like profound relief. Like, at every level, we are trying to figure it out, and our hours are so strange. So anyways, yeah, I have so much gratitude. And moving in the from the musical theater space into like the straight actor space, I'm married to an actor who is a quote unquote straight actor who doesn't do musicals, and there is such a like a stigma attached to genre hopping that I feel like is sort of melting away, and partly because of Hamilton, because the Hamilton moment was so cool for musical theater, and I feel like. This is sort of weird to say, but I always felt like I still was sort of trying to break through that barrier. But Hamilton sort of made musical theater folk cool in the Hollywood space.
Right.
I mean, and then also, like, look at what happened after the advent of Hamilton. All the Dear Evan Hansen people, they're all working in that space. Mm-hmm. You know, really everybody who's been in a great show has really had some great opportunities.
That is the, that is the key. Yeah.
I know.
To be in a great show.
That's so ding, true. Ding, ding. So true.
For them to see you in a great show.
So true.
You have one precious little boy, Jack,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
Who's here?
That's him. He's here. Good. He knows his cues.
He knows perfect timing.
Well done there, Jack. He is here with you this morning.
Because mom life.
Mom life, yeah. Yeah, bring it up. We have just a moment. He wants me to fix something. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a mom hack right now. When I really need to, I let him go in on my phone.
Yep.
And I know I'm not supposed to.
No,
I know all the
no
things.
Judgment.
But, and he was texting just now. That's fun.
How old are you, Jack?
How old are you?
Three.
He's going through a new, like, I'm shy phase. When I talk to people I don't know as well, I talk like this.
So he's trying on a character.
He is trying. Yeah. He's been like, trying on a lot
person?
Of characters,
yeah,
which is
my
horrifying
son's the same
to
way.
Me, Joe.
Really? It's really horrifying.
Oh, are you like, please don't. He also has a pair of tap shoes, and we like let him put them on from time to time that Luke Hawkins gave him. Do you guys know Luke Hawkins? Great tap dancer. One of my favorite people in the world. He gave them to us before he was born, and he... It's like a weirdly fantastic tap dancer, and it's horrifying. I do not. It's a very rare moment that I put on my tap shoes. I did a weird tap number as a pig in my New Year's show because last year was the year of the pig. But besides that, it's not like I'm like flap flap flap. And he has like
He's
a physicality.
It.
Mm. It was weird, you guys.
No, it's so innate. Like some things are just so innate within ourselves.
Is Elliot That's doing wild. Things like that?
Oh yeah, I mean she. We got her tap shoes because she was obsessed with Holiday Inn's performance on the Thanksgiving Day Parade, that revival a few years ago when she was like probably about his age, two and a half or almost three. And she was obsessed. And so we got her tap shoes and I got a tap board because we live on the fifth floor of an apartment building and people would
that
hate
was
us.
Smart.
So I got her tap board and she was all into it. But now she's in a ballet and tap combo class.
Fabulous.
But she likes ballet better.
Wow.
Which is so interesting because I... did not like ballet
really?
Better.
Get that
probably because my hips are awful and I have like no extension. But she loves ballet. And so she's been doing that. And she just asked to take a Broadway class.
Oh, God.
So here we are.
That's so
but
funny.
At the same time, like she gets really shy when she gets on stage. So who knows?
You are know? You but relieved when it happens too? Isn't that terrible that I don't want... I don't know. Do you guys not want
no,
to
No, you know
this?
Why? Because truthfully, I grew up in the theater household. So it's all I know. And same with Eric.
Totally. Jack was buying Gabby Gabby on YouTube.
I think
happening.
It's so hard for them Wiggle. Not to come by it. It's funny.
Wiggle. I'm so sorry.
Wiggles.
Yeah, it's happening. It's okay. Take a deep breath.
You know, we have all these therapists come to our house for Elin, for our daughter, and they're always like, you guys have like the most fun house. And because like Elin earns like dance breaks where we like all get up and dance and play music and everything.
That.
And I looked at my husband the other day. I was like, do people not do this? Is that not what people do? He goes, I don't think a lot
no.
of people do.
No.
And I was like, okay.
Breaks?
Like we do. I mean, we dance a lot and put music on a lot
well,
in the house,
you guys
right?
Are like
music.
The best dancers.
But yeah, but like exactly. Our kids love to dance just and sing and perform. But it never struck me as unusual. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That like this might not be something that
I know.
Other people do.
Same.
Singing and dancing is such a major part of development.
Yeah.
It helps you like it's my mom always says that. My mom's an elementary school gym teacher, and so she's got like a degree in child development, and she's always pushing physical and because singing is physical, but it just is so helpful for the brain. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, what the new music teacher that she's working with, he went to Juilliard and he's in Denver, Colorado, and his name is Fritz, and he's like magical, and she's like in love with him. They're like best friends. But he does a type of music, like a school of teaching music where they do everything physically. He teaches them music through the body.
Ooh.
Isn't that fabulous?
Ooh.
Yeah, so they're like learning quarter notes, but through the body.
Through their body.
I can't, like, when I go home to Colorado, I like want to go watch them teach.
I want to know more about this because I feel like for a child like Elin, that might be perfect.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask my mom. I'll talk to her about it because I'll find out exactly what it's called.
Please do. I would love that.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right. So we went down a rabbit hole. Sorry about that. We've met Jack, but tell us a little bit about your pregnancy. Were you working? What you kind of went up against? Having Jack, and maybe if it was scary to you having a baby in this industry.
Oh, I love these questions. I could talk about birthing babies all day long. It's
bring
one
it.
Of my favorite things.
Two-parter.
I know, right? So when I first got pregnant, I was really lucky. I knew what I had going on sort of for the rest of the year in terms of work. And I feel like in our business, that's always the most helpful. Mm-hmm. Also, we were you know, I live in a household of two actors. So as you both know, it's like it's a joint effort. It's not like some of the other moms in Jack's preschool class where they're a working mom, but like they don't have to worry about their husband's schedule being so erratic as well. So we knew that I had a season of Masters of Sex coming up. And I was doing Sylvia at the time and I knew when it was closing. So I had a little flexibility. And so we just tried. And I was getting off the pill, I had a doctor say, you really should use acupuncture to get off the pill because you have hormone crashes and it could really help with that. And it was amazingly helpful. I went twice a week the month before I went off the pill and I did great. I didn't have a hormone crash. It was
really easy.
I've
never heard that advice before. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And great that your doctor like said that.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I respond really well to acupuncture, and I always have responded well to acupuncture in a hormonal sense. So anyways, I didn't have a crash. And earlier in my life, I tried to go off the pill, and I had a full-blown hormone crash, and I went crazy. So it went off. And then we tried a couple months later, and I have to say this is another moment of gratitude. We were really lucky, and it just happened, and I didn't think it would so fast. I used LH strips, though. Which are the
ovulation ones?
Yeah. And I found that to be extremely helpful. And they always say, like, you should really be trying before you ovulate. So I knew I have a long cycle. So I knew when I was about, I love that I'm talking about full-blown fertility, but I think it's important.
No, it's super important.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. So, and I'm also gluten-free because I have celiac disease and I'm dairy-free. And Joe is mostly gluten-free. And I've been listening to so many functional medicine perspectives on health in general. And there's a lot of research that backs up fertility being helped by people eating gluten-free and dairy-free, which I know sounds like woo-woo and kind of crazy, but I think in another 30 years, all of our – you're going to go to your doctor for, you know, your hip hurting, and they're going to check your gut. Mm-hmm. Like, I really believe in gut health being, like, the primary function and source of all your other health. So anyways, we got really lucky. I got pregnant right away, which was sort of surprising. So then I called – when I found out, I waited until I got to like 12 weeks, and then I called everybody and told everybody. Masters of Sex was incredibly loving to me. And then I had auditioned before I got pregnant for the Rocky Horror Picture Show TV version.
Oh, yeah.
And then they came back like 10 weeks later and were like, do you want to do this movie? And I was like, oh, pregnant. So they were also really loving and kind. And William Ivy Long was the costume designer. And I popped way earlier than I ever would have thought with a first baby. I popped it like literally I hit 12 weeks and was like, boop. Like, I looked super pregnant. I think it's because I had celiac for so long, and I was really bloated for, like, basically 5 years. Like, I would walk around like kinky boots before I got diagnosed and be like, guys, look. And it looked like I was like 5 months pregnant. So I think everything was like used to stretching.
She's like, hey, we know how to do this.
Yeah. Kind of like the second time, you know, did you do pop earlier the second time?
Oh my gosh, so early.
Yeah. I think it was like that. So anyways, everybody was great about covering it. And then in Masters, I was like pregnant. And we CGI'd my belly out. I would like carry boxes
around.
What?
They CGI'd it out? I didn't know they do that.
Yeah, it's crazy. You can tell like at the very end of the fourth season, my face is enormous.
So big. But they were supportive of you. You weren't nervous to tell them or anything?
I was, of course, nervous. I have to tell you, there was an audition of something really, a really big show that is like one of the biggest shows on television. And it was, I remember we knew that Masters was like, it was the final season. And so they were like, we're going to set you up an appointment. And the casting director and the creative team found out I was pregnant and they would not see me. And I look back at that moment and I go, that's something that would they would see me now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The world has changed since then, but my employers
that wasn't
at that time.
That long ago.
No. My employers at that time were incredibly helpful. I will say, I will not name names, but in that space, there were a couple male people. I won't say what project it was, but there were a couple males involved that were not as kind to me, and they would be kinder now. Mm. Mm-hmm. And in Sylvia, I didn't tell anybody because it was closed so when I was 10 weeks. And I was just, everybody's different in that space. But for me personally, I knew that if I had miscarried, it would have been easier for me personally to handle in a private space. Some people do better handling it in a public space. I think I would have shared it, but I would have needed to share it later just for me.
Everybody has to do it their own way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How did you feel? Were you having any sickness? Were you okay?
I was so lucky. The first 12 weeks, I was sort of like textbook. I knew something was up because I was so tired. Joey and I remembered the other day, we were like, our house is really cold. We have a really cold apartment. Our landlord's great and doesn't raise our rent. So we just like deal with it. We have a weird
bundle up
heater thing. Kind of. I was like, remember when I was first pregnant with Jack and I slept, literally I would sleep 12 hours a night and then I'd take a 2-hour nap in the afternoon. Mm.
It's like, hard growing a person.
It's so hard, but I also was anemic and nobody was really listening to me. And then I switched OBs when I went to LA and they figured it out. And they were like, whoa, girl, you are so anemic. Oh. And then I got on iron. I felt like, I remember like the day I went on the iron, the next day I was like, I can't poop, but I feel so much better.
That's life, honey.
I know. And then after that, it was a miracle. I also, when you have an autoimmune disorder, which I have the best one to have, I just don't eat gluten and then it's bitter. I have a lot of gut things, which I've figured out since then, but it goes in like remission when you're pregnant. So I felt amazing. Mm-hmm. I felt so good. My immune system was killing it. So I think that's unusual for other people. Another mom at Jack School, she just gave birth like a week and a half ago and she had makeup on and her hair was done and she had the baby in the carrier and like picking her little girl up and me and Joe were like, Joe looked
She's
like,
an alien.
Yeah. And I go, how are you? I just full out was like, how are you looking like this? And like, how do you have so much energy? And like, what is happening here? And she goes, I'm just so happy I'm not pregnant anymore. My pregnancy was so hard. Mm. And so I was lucky that way.
Same. I have psoriasis, which is also an autoimmune disorder.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Did it go in remission when you were pregnant?
Well, I stayed on my medication. So, because my medication was whatever level you can stay on. So, I don't really know, to be honest, but I did have a great pregnancy. I mean, I didn't know that it could be attached to that, but possibly it was. Like, I never got sick and I felt great. After those first few weeks of being so tired, then I just was like, cool.
I remember talking to you about that on the train. I told you guys before I told like anybody.
I remember you telling us. We were so excited.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Oh. Out in Astoria.
I know. And then, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I actually found post way harder. I've talked about that with Laura Benanti. Yeah. I also did too much and didn't know. I got asked to do Sunday in the Park and I didn't. They were like, it was like a month before I had Jack and they were like, well, the baby will be like 6 weeks old when you guys do the concert. Are you sure you can do that? And I'm dumb. I was like, yeah, they sleep so much at that point. And
well,
because
you have
so
no idea. You've done it. You have no idea.
You don't know what kind of baby you're going to get.
Right.
Exactly.
Every baby's different.
Jack? Was he?
He was, I got mastitis early on. He was amazing until my milk came in. And then at 5 days, my milk came in and he was a different baby. And my mom kept telling me, and she knew. She was like, Annie, I don't know. Like all these things I was telling her, and I was trying to cluster feed. And I was going to the Pump Station, which is this incredible resource in LA, and you can go once a week and it's $15 and you can sit in a room with other moms and a this incredible lactation specialist named Corky sits there, and there's like 30 moms. And it's from like birth to 12 weeks. Mm. And you know, every week is different with nursing. Mm. So after like 2 weeks after I had mastitis, I scheduled like a private with her. And I remember her being like the lactation specialist. And I remember her being like, oh, he's fine, going through all these things. And then 15 minutes after that, she was like, this is a terrifically high needs baby. And she called our pediatrician for us, because the pediatricians too, they have to just let the babies run their course. We kept being like, something's not right. He had major, major reflux.
Oh.
So he had to go on Zantac, which, you know, I'm like, we didn't want to put him on anything. You did too.
Yeah.
You guys have the same kind of thing?
It was terrifying. Like Elliot with, you know, the arching and the screaming and the,
I remember spitting up.
Yeah. And I remember I took her to the pediatrician and he was like, you need to go to a pediatric gastro, you know?
Oh.
And I was like, what? And I remember like driving out to Long Island somewhere to a specialist. And then they're like, she has reflux, and put her on Zantac. And she was literally like 3 weeks old, because my mother-in-law was here. So she was really new.
Yeah.
And then, they're like, why don't you do some formula, you know, or you could cut out dairy. And I was like, no, because that was very selfish of me, but I was also like in the fog of it all.
Of
and
course.
I love my cheese and it's my saving grace.
I love you.
I was like, no. And that night I remember distinctly getting home and I made a bottle with the formula to nurse her, to give her. And I was sitting in the chair and she was screaming. She did not want it. She was like, what is that? You know what I mean? And I started sobbing and I was like, no more, baby. No more. And I remember I was like, no more cheese. And I went off of it that night.
I love
and
you.
I had texted Eric that I had this huge breakdown with her in the car, in the chair, about the dairy and this and that. And he knew I was emotional. So he came home with like all my favorite nice cheeses.
That's amazing.
And he walked in the door and he was like, I was like, no more cheese. And he's like, well, I got all this cheese. I said, okay, just tonight. And then no more cheese. But then I did. I went cold turkey after that for like the next 5 months until, you know.
And did it help? I can't remember.
It did help. Yeah. I mean, she eventually went off the Zantac but it's a real thing. And you don't really think about it. Like you also, because you don't know what a baby's supposed to be doing. Like, is it okay that they're arching their back when no.
You're just learning. I mean? Yeah. You know, it's so funny too. I look back at those first like 5 months and even... My mom has a degree in child development, obviously, but she also had 3 kids. And also, Jack has followed the same sort of patterns that my brother and sister and I did in terms of tummy stuff, like all often.
Oh.
And little things that my mom, especially that first like 6 months, the way that she held him, she came in when we were doing Sunday in the Park. My mom and Joe's mom, they took turns. Because it was just so crazy.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine.
Oh, it was so crazy. I just didn't know. And I got mastitis the morning of the concert. And I had to have – I called Janine Tesori and was like, is there an intern at City Center who can go pick up some antibiotics for me? I was up all night long and my boobs were red.
Rocks.
God. Did you guys have it?
Yes, I did. In one. Just in one once.
But I got it in both twice. God. But anyways – I remember my mom, the way she held him, she was like, and I remembered my brother and sister are 10 years younger than me. And I went, oh yeah, we used to hold Carolyn and Nick like that. And that helped. And then we went to our osteopath, who's a genius, and she gave him 2 treatments and then we got him off Zantac.
Nice.
She saying that sometimes during the birth, there's a space in their neck that can, I may be saying the wrong thing, so you should look this up correctly, but there's a space that can get pinched and it's a nerve that connects your stomach to your esophagus, something. I'm going to say it wrong. Something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he did so much better.
Well, that's
and we got him off. So anyways, that was really the only thing. We were so blessed. All the things we did 12 hours and 12 weeks and he slept through the night at 3 months and that was a miracle. Joe really did that.
Nice. Yeah, no, I couldn't. Eric had to do the cry. Like when we came to that point, I was like,
yeah.
I can't, you're going to do it because I'm not
gonna. Yeah. So anyways, I could go on and on and
well,
on.
But that's what we're here for.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, and talking about, do you even remember doing Sunday in the Park with George?
It was like such a fog.
It was, I mean, because he was really small when you did the Broadway run, if I recall.
Yeah, he was only 3 months.
Right? Yeah.
You know, we did the end of Act One where I'm holding the baby, and Peter Lawrence was our stage manager, and we barely rehearsed. You guys, me and Jake had 1 week. The company came in for 2 weeks of rehearsal with us. the company was the dreamiest group of people in the entire universe. They're just, I mean, that's, they're why the whole show worked. You know, me and Jake are so lucky that they did all said yes. And then we had 4 days of tech. We had like 8 previews and then we opened with that show.
Oh, so, my God. And a 3-month-old.
And a 3-month-old. Peter was like, I think you should, I was nursing. He said, I think you should bring Jack on stage for a run of Sunday in the Park when we're lighting it. We have to relight it in tech today. And I just, he had done the original production of Hurley Burley and he was like, I just always say if there's a baby in a scene on, in a show, you should have one baby rehearsal with a real baby and it'd change the show. So we did it with Jack and we all were like weeping because one of the major themes in the show is there are only 2 worthwhile things to leave behind when you depart this world, and it's children and art. And it was like, I think that specifically there was something to do with me just having a baby that sort of affected the whole show in a way and gave that theme sort of a brighter stroke. And the show in general, I think, works differently now that we're 35 years away from when it was originally done, because the first act was always pastiche and now the second act is pastiche. So it allows for Marie to sort of vibrate in a different space. You know, there's something sort of like cuckoo and comedic and almost caricature about the that character. So I don't know, it made children and art feel different to me, but I think it made it feel different to everybody. So anyways, I think me having a baby, while it was the most incredibly challenging theatrical experience of my life, like performing experience, I was sick the entire run.
Oh.
And that's when I started realizing something was wrong with my immune system.
Well, and I remember you texting me. You did text early on asking, because Kara and I have our Facebook group, but you're not on Facebook.
I know.
So, so you're not in the group, but like, I remember you texting me and you're like, do you know any, you with all these questions? And I can only imagine what that was to nurse and pump when you needed to, I'm sure, because he's not there at the theater with you all the time. And just doing a show of that magnitude, I mean, that's what an undertaking, girl.
Well, and one thing that was sort of interesting about Jack and me and our feeding experience was because the reflux was so incredibly intense, I have tiny baby boobs. Like, my boobs are literally like in the stages of the development of boobs in the book, you know, you read when you're like learning about sex ed. Uh-huh. Mine are like stage 2.
Same, girl. I'm with you.
Yeah. They just like never. But when I was nursing, they were like porn star titties.
Yeah. And you're like, who's are
who you? Is this person?
Yeah. They look like really fake and like magic, but like, whoa, like a blow up doll boob. So my letdown was very intense and so much milk. The volume of milk and the letdown, the how fast it was coming out was very intense. So he just couldn't handle it. So I only pumped from the time that he was 2.5 weeks until I quit, which was like when he was 11 months. So in some ways, I think that made my experience a little bit easier because both of us didn't know anything different. It made it much easier for everybody caring for him. And I remember one morning, Joe knocked over all the milk for the morning feed while I was pumping.
Oh, God.
And Jack was like 7 months. And I remember he just ripped off the funnels because he was hungry. And he we'd always sit him next to me while I was pumping. Oh. He'd drink the bottle and look over my boobs. He ripped him off and I went, okay, whatever. And I started nursing him. He had nursed for like months and months. And he looked at me and looked up and smiled and then took a big old bite of my boob.
He was like, Mama,
I'm in charge.
Yeah. I threw him across the bed. I felt so bad. But during that era, too, I remember I texted you because I got sick early in the run. I made it through I made it through opening, and then I got sick. And I was vocally kind of singing over it. And vocally, I felt different after I had him. And I felt I was reaching out to a lot of singing moms about that. I was like, what is this? I felt like my placement felt different. My sinuses felt different. My vocal cords actually felt different. And then halfway through the run, I went in to to the ENT, and I remember her saying, "Yeah, your cords are different when you nurse, and you have this tiny little spot you didn't have before. It's nothing to worry about. It's just something we have to keep an eye on." And I freaked out, out. And I just kept getting sick because I had some gut stuff and there was a lot of mold in the theater, and I have an autoimmune disorder that my gut was out of control. We didn't know, but the thing that's, I think I feel like I should share, because I feel like a lot of people are sharing vocal stuff like recently. Like, I know Casey Levy and it spurred all these people being like, I've had a vocal thing and I'm so blessed. I have so much gratitude that I hadn't had something like that happen. So when I had this moment happen, it was something I was just singing over. It's just something I could feel, only I could feel. It was so small, but something small feels big in mm-hmm. that space. I mean, especially when you're doing 8 shows a week and a show like that.
Oh my God.
And then when I quit nursing, I got really sick. I was doing Midsummer in the park. Doing Shakespeare mm-hmm. in the park, and I had no voice, nothing, major sinus infection. Went in. She was like, well, you have a major sinus infection. I was like, well, what do my cards look like? I wasn't phonating. She goes, they look great. That little tiny spot is gone.
It's gone.
And I wasn't phonating. So it's just like a reminder that even if you have something, there are so many people that have stuff on their cords, and that's the way they sound, and that's the way they live.
That's who they are.
They've had something on their cords like that forever. You know, we just get used to thinking that they just have to be pristine, and mm-hmm. it's really just like – now as I'm getting older and I'm hearing people's voices change, my voice change, my voice mm-hmm. is different. I'm starting to just recognize and realize that the person and the body and the performer and the voice that I was at 22 is not the person and performer that I am at 35, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a good thing. Listen to all of our favorite singers. They don't sound the same in a recording at 25 than they did at 55.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite people to listen to is like Patti LuPone. Mm. Like her voice is like, it's like even more rich and delicious and juicy, and she knows even more about it. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I don't know. Did you guys feel vocally different?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Support-wise was the hardest thing for me.
Me too.
I just felt like I couldn't. Sometimes you could get the depth of support, but it didn't feel strong.
Yeah. Breath is just different.
But I guess that makes sense if you've like stretched out all those muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? For sure. I think it took me a long time, I think, to feel like I was sort of back to normal, to what it normally feels like. And I feel like it's still different from what it used to be. Like,
yeah.
But totally. All of me is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
I know.
You have to recognize the person that you were before has ceased to exist in like basically all ways, shape, and
perfect. Absolutely.
Like, this is your body's different, your mind is different, your heart is different,
you're molecularly different than you were before that.
You guys know that that they've now done studies that with every pregnancy, that baby leaves behind cells in the mother's body. I just listened to a podcast about this, actually.
It's gonna make me
cry. So like literally we all have cells of our children still living inside us. And when like they do autopsies on mothers, that's how they figured this out. Isn't that wild?
Amazing.
Wow. That's crazy.
So beautiful. We are molecularly different.
And then they also take part of your brain.
They
take part of it.
Absolutely.
And it's gone.
Yeah, forever.
So you did that. You did Sunday in the Park, which you were so fantastic.
Oh
my
God.
I mean, that show, that's a dream. I mean, to sing Move On, and just all of it. It's just, to get to do things of that kind of substance and to do work is just incredible and super lucky.
A lot of gratitude. Totally lucky. And know how lucky I am.
And with Jake, who
I know.
Surprising. I mean, to be honest, surprisingly, because he's a movie actor. And so I'm doing a little of that generalizing like they do with us. But I was not expecting that performance from him.
I know. I always say when we would do interviews, I'd be like, best kept secret in Hollywood.
Literally.
Jake Gyllenhaal is a really good singer.
Yeah.
He'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm not. I'd be like, stop saying that. You're a singer.
He is. And his performance, I mean, just on every level was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was, oh my gosh.
He's
it was
the real
fantastic.
Deal.
Yeah.
He's
I was super, super impressed. That was fantastic. Have you noticed a difference now that you are doing more television and film as a mother versus the theater? Because You haven't done anything since Sunday, right?
I did Midsummer right after
Midsummer
that.
Midsummer in the park.
Yeah, and Joe did it too. So that was really challenging. Mm. My mom and his mom came out because, you know, when you do Shakespeare in the Park, it's financially not, you know,
right.
you don't.
It's an investment.
It's an investment in your art and your heart. And also it was like really important for me to get to do Shakespeare too as like an artist, because that's another space in which I thought, God, nobody will ever see me in that right. space, mm-hmm. you know? So thank God. I'm so grateful to the public and to Laird de Bessonnet for being like, yeah, we'd love you to play Helena. So that was a very big challenge, a lot of time away from Jack. Together though, so in a way... Mm. I knew at least he was with our moms, which yeah. was magical.
And that's kind of a sweet gift that you got that time with your husband.
Sweet gift. Away. Yes. We actually, I always say to people who are having a baby for the first time, I'm like, go to couples therapy now. And we did after that. And I wish we had could have gone before that, because the stressors of having a child and the stressors of having a child in a career that's so unpredictable financially, emotionally, mm-hmm. And like in terms of your schedule. I just wish we had had like a couple more tools, but I look back on that creative gift for us and it was really special. And I also go, oh, we love to work together. You know, it was mm-hmm. the second time we'd gotten to work together. We're really good at it. And I always pride myself on being like a good company member. He's the best. Oh. I always think that like a show, more than TV and film, way more, being in a show on the stage is like being a part of a team, a sports team.
Yep.
And absolutely. You need to have amazing people on that team. Not only do they have to be like talented and amazing, but they even more importantly, they have to be good people. And he's both.
Yeah. He's a good egg.
And so are you, Emily.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, likewise. So yeah.
You guys
sure.
are together for a reason. So
that's mm-hmm. so sweet. You know what somebody said? The mechanicals used to say though that I was like, the Cowardly Lion, Burt Lauer. Is that his name? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying the right thing? Great, great comedic actor.
Lair.
But Burt Lair. I know. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm saying
L-A-H-R.
It wrong.
Lair.
I know. I can see it in my mind, but I never know if I say it right. I guess he used to go off stage and be like, they didn't like me. I wasn't funny enough. Which when I'm doing like, especially a comedy, I'm always like dissecting what happened when I came off in the attempt to make it more developed, more nuanced, more real the next night. Mm. Like it's just a quest that feels like it's never ending. It was a good lesson for me to learn, like, it's okay that it's like, you don't have to be questing every single night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exhausting.
I know. It's kind of but it was good to have him see me in that space too. I mean, we did You Can't Take It With You, and I'd be like, I don't know if this, you know, never stop figuring out if it works or not. Mm-hmm. Which is a good place to be in, but also like
exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
Yeah. And then it helps them to understand just sort of who you are, like in your career, you know, to see you in that space and to be there together.
Absolutely.
Because then when you come home with all of your hang-ups and your things and your questing, they can
and your questing
can get it a little more.
Have you worked with Eric?
I know. I was just wondering.
I mean, since you've been married
a long time.
Well, we met doing a show together in LA, but we were just friends.
Yeah.
And then we started dating when we did the last 5 years together.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that
it was
the show?
It was the very next time. Like we met in February, and then that June or May is when we started working on Last 5 Years. And that was in Sacramento. And that's when we started dating. That was 14 years ago.
But have you worked together since?
Not since.
Wow.
Oh, wow. You guys would have so much fun, I think.
Yeah. I think so too. Although like, I have to say, there have been a lot of times, thank goodness, talk about gratitude, where he and I are both on a Broadway schedule. And so we're riding the train in and out together. And I will admit that sometimes it's like, oh, I never have any time to myself.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time I usually have is when I'm on the train going to work. So when we're going in and out together, you know, or like waiting for him after the show on the platform, sometimes I'll be like, I'm just going to go now and you catch the next train.
Yeah.
Just so that I have a minute like to myself. Yeah. I love my husband, but I'm never by myself.
And especially once you become a mom, I think those moments to yourself are so sacred.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Before I never actually felt that way, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's because now I'm never by myself.
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense.
And my parents live with me, so.
Of course.
So I'm really never by myself.
Absolutely. Yep. The other thing too, I think it's important to like acknowledge that as artists, we need quiet time. That's like, I need that time on the train by myself on the way to the theater, because whether I realized it actually like recently that I need that time to sort of like, it's part of my prep.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's sort of like different in terms of like the 8-show-a-week schedule as a mom compared to the TV schedule is like, because I worked yesterday, I thought about it, and I haven't done a show in a long time. I haven't done 8 shows a week in so long, which like my heart is, there's a piece of my heart that I didn't realize that's like, hello, we need to like connect. Mm-hmm. We need to connect to that again. The schedules are so different in the way that you behave and operate as a mom. Like yesterday I left the house at 7 o'clock and I didn't get home until 7:45. So it's sort of like being in tech, mm-hmm. but you get the weekends off, you get Saturday and Sunday off. And most of the time you don't work every single day.
Right.
So it's a different negotiation of time. It's longer days.
Yeah.
But theater, you don't get to put your kid to bed every night. But
it's
you
really
don't in
hard.
TV and film, too. You maybe get to Monday, Tuesday night. It's
right.
just so, it's sort of like I used to think being on TV and film was like a vacation because you don't have to, like, you can be like, can I try again? Mm-hmm. And I still feel that way from a creative sense. But I think that they're, that they, like, I remember listening to Tina Fey talk to Oprah and this tour that she's doing, this wellness tour, because I'm a Weight Watchers ambassador. Excuse me, formerly known as Weight Watchers. And Oprah's Vision Quest tour that she's doing. Vision Quest? It's her Vision tour.
Say everything wrong.
Everything's a quest.
It's a quest.
But she interviewed Tina Fey, and Tina Fey talked about how hard having a kid was during 30 Rock. Mm. I can't even imagine. That's like being in tech for 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For like sure.
When
executive producing and writing and doing all the things.
Wearing all the hats.
Yeah. At least when you're through the hard part of a show and you start to get in the rhythm.
Well, there's an end game, right? Like, you know, okay, so I'm going to have rehearsal 6 days a week, 10 to 6. And then I'm going to have tech from noon to midnight for 2 weeks, basically. And I'm going to have no time. But, and then I'll be in previews from, you know, in rehearsing noon to 5 and then a show at night. But then we open and I have all the day free.
And then all you have to worry about after that is the only moments that are like triage are when you get sick or when your kid gets sick. Mm-hmm. So when you get sick, you have to be extremely selfish when you're performing 8 shows a week. Mm-hmm. And when the show is on your shoulders, like you can't get sick, you know, it like that's, I've started meditating. I went to Ziva meditation. Mm-hmm. I did.
Yes.
We're having her guest coming up. Yeah.
I took her class. I don't know her very well. And I feel like we have so many mutual friends, but tell her like I took her class and I'm like trying to do 2 times a day, 20 minutes. And I feel
that's
like
hard.
It's helping.
It is helping though. I mean, I remember when I first took Ziva, it was when I was pregnant actually.
Really?
And I remember that within 2 days, Eric was like, there's a difference.
Yeah.
He's like, you just feel lighter.
Yeah.
But, the struggle of trying to do two, I mean.
Isn't it? I'm so glad you're saying that because I'm having a really hard time with it.
No, don't beat yourself up. And I remember she saying to me, like, when you're a mom, she's like, just meditate when you can.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't get 2 times a day for 20 minutes, then just do it. I mean, she'll tell us all this.
I can't wait because I need it so badly.
I'm to listen to it.
On another episode.
But, actually, I think by the time yours airs,
hers will have already aired.
Okay,
great.
Yeah.
But it's super helpful. And I do feel on there, you know, I go through periods of time where I make it a very conscious point to meditate and I feel different in those moments.
Yeah.
I start the day in a whole new place.
And, and there's also like, you know, the element of self-care as a mom. Like we talk about that all the time and all these famous people talk about it. Like it's so true. When you have a career that it requires you to have moments of selfishness because your body is your instrument and your psyche is also, and your mental health is part of your instrument. You have to be able to tap into uncomfortable things and then walk away from them. I mean, I'm getting kind of woo-woo, but that's part of the way I work.
It, absolutely.
And also, we have a level of rejection our whole life in this career that people just have no concept of, you know. So anyways, on those notes, I feel like the self-care element has become more important to me. Like Joe is really good at self-care. Like,
well, most husbands and men partners are.
I know.
Let's just be honest.
I think just men too naturally, like they are like, oh, I need to take care of this so that I can take care of everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, that's something like we just could be better at.
Do their thing.
They do their thing.
They don't, because they're not handling the mental load, which is a whole nother thing to talk about. They're not handling the mental load most of the time of life. So to them, they don't even tend to think like, oh, well, should I look at the calendar and see if there's something that I should be doing? No, I'll just go to the gym because I need to do that.
Yeah, he goes. One thing that I will say for Joe is he belongs to a very expensive gym, but he goes every single day except for one day a week. And he's like the only person that goes to that gym that actually makes like the money worth it.
Right.
Like he's the worst person you want as a member. But anyways, I feel like he says, and I see a difference in his anxiety level, the way he feels about himself. He just is like, this is a part of, like, it's like medicine.
Self-care.
Yeah, it's what you have to do.
Totally. Yeah, so I'm working on that. He has been so great in the last year about being like, hey, your toenails look insane. Like, you go away for 2 hours and I'm going to go take care of that. Sometimes he'll give me gift certificates for the pedicure place down the street from my
house. That's so lovely that he says, sweet. Go, you know?
Yeah.
Go, no, you need this.
Because I'm like my mom is like, she takes care of herself very last, you know.
But I'm getting a lot better. I think most mothers do, you know, and most women do in general, even if you're not.
It's hard. It feels selfish. It feels really selfish.
It does. Well, and there's just so much that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's so much to do.
You know what else, too? I don't know about you guys, but I feel like having a baby has balanced my performing life, too, in a lot of ways. Like, I remember getting sick for the first concert night of Sunday in the Park, and literally backstage, she was like, white. I'm like, and I was like, I don't know what's going to come out. I'm going to tear up talking about it. And I just thought to myself, God, thank you for this blessing. You will go ahead of me. You will leave after me. This isn't about me. I am nothing. You know, I am not, my gifts are not mine. And most of all, at the end of the day, I care the most about my little baby, you know, and I went out and had like the best show of my life. You know?
Yeah.
Sick.
It's really nice to give over to that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I struggle. I don't do that. You know, it's like that's that deep struggle, that deep abandon. I like try to live with, but that's the struggle, you know, but it's made me more balanced as an actor.
I feel like that's a common theme with when we talk to people here on the podcast, that having a child does balance out some of the idiosyncrasies or things that we struggle with as actors before having children.
Yeah, like auditioning. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like my life as an auditioner is like night
so
and
much
day
better.
Oh my
right?
God.
You can leave it at the door. Like, I feel if it, like, whatever happens in the room, I can walk away and be like, okay. Mm-hmm. Instead of like going over every moment, what could I have done differently?
I had an audition this last year for a TV show and I was so prepared. I had to fly to LA for it and I sucked so bad in the first reading of like the first take. I was so bad. It was uncomfortable for everybody in the room. And they were people I know well. It was like embarrassing. And I think that was part of not giving myself enough self-care. I flew in too late. And then I went in last week for like a fitting and I remember being like, no, I'm not going to take the red eye back. I'm not going to fly in at this flight. I'm going to let myself sleep because after I've had him, I cannot pull all-nighters anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't do red eyes anymore. Yeah. All these funny things and then 10 years ago, I would have still been telling you about that audition would have made my stomach upset just now. And now it took like 2 days, but it didn't take 2 years to let go of it. You know? Like I'm like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Jack thought that was funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, I see his little feet poking out and my son has the same socks.
Oh,
and I don't know why. It just made me so happy.
Funny.
I'm like, oh, it looks like Finn's
so
feet.
Cute. There's very few options of boys' clothing.
Oh,
isn't it
so
disappointing?
Few. It's so disappointing.
I
put a whole new outfit on my daughter this morning, a new coat and everything. I'm like, she looks so cute. And then my son's like in all hand-me-downs, not matching. It's
like,
horrible.
Whatever.
I don't, whatever.
But you don't have to do your little boy's hair.
That's
true. What I was thinking. Sometimes I'm like,
hair.
Today we were a mess because the trains were all screwed up. So I was like, we got to go. And I was like, if I had a little girl right now, I guess I'd just like have a brush and some ponies in my pocket. Mm-hmm. Do you do that? Do you just have a brush and hair?
I also just
everywhere?
Throw it into a top knot. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Cute.
Like I can't, you know, I don't know. Yeah. You probably the teacher probably thinks that, you know, no one does her hair sometimes, I think. Because I just, in the morning, it's the least.
Yeah. It's the last thing on the list. Are you kidding me?
I just throw it up.
So. Jack's been texting again.
Jack, thanks for coming today.
He texted my mom a full text.
What?
Like an emoji.
Amazing.
I don't know what happened there.
Amazing.
There you go, buddy. Oh, yay.
Well, I just think you and Joe clearly make such a great team. And
thanks.
You've got such a precious little person. And you guys have so much fun, it always seems like.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you, gals.
Thanks.
I just called you guys gals.
We're gals. Gal talk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much
for coming.
My pleasure. I feel like I went on and on.
Oh my gosh, you didn't. Trust.
It's all right.
Does everybody, when they come on, are they like, whoa, talking about motherhood, I could go on and on?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even talk about Ina May Garten. We didn't talk about birth. I literally could give a 2-hour sermon about
how much
I think Pitocin is
the devil.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well,
my vagina thinks it's the devil. My vagina's never been the same. I can't do plows in yoga classes or Pilates because guess what? I queef every time. I've queefed in so many yoga classes in the last 2 years that I just don't even, I can't, I'm afraid to even do downward dog sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or jumping jacks or.
And I've had my pelvic floor looked at. I have the whole thing.
It's just everything changes.
Your vagina lips will just never be the same.
I mean, Sarah Bareilles got it right somehow. You know what I mean?
Everything changes.
Everything.
Legit.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.